Johnny Dollar.
Ed Barringer, Continental Insurance and Trust.
Well, nice to hear from you, Ed. It's been a long time. Yeah?
I've already telephoned the airport, made a reservation.
Well, good for you. Have a happy trip.
No, Johnny.
What?
No, that reservation's for you. But on the next flight down to New York.
For me? What for?
So hop into your car and get on out to the airport just as fast as you can. You've only got a few minutes to make that
break. Whoa, hold on. Wait a minute.
I'll meet you there at Bradley Field, give you the address of the man in New York and all the details.
Yeah, what man?
His name is Lucian R. Look, Johnny, there isn't time. Get on out there to the airport.
Yeah, you look, unless I know why you want me to get down and see this Lucian, whatever his name is. Well?
Sure, I'll tell you why.
Well?
Johnny, it's to prevent a murder.
Oh?
Yes. Now get going, will you?
Sure, Ed.
CBS Radio brings you Bob Bailey in the exciting adventures of the man with the action-packed expense account, America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar. Expense account submitted by Special Investigator Johnny Dollar to the Continental Insurance and Trust Company Home Office, Hartford, Connecticut. Following is an account of expenses incurred during my investigation of the back-to-the-back matter. The gas tank of my car was dry as a bone, so expense account item one is $5.30 to fill it up. Then I tore on out to Bradley Field, and sure enough, Ed Barringer was waiting for me.
Over here, Johnny.
Oh, yeah.
This plane over here.
Hi, Ed. How are you?
Here now. Here's your ticket.
Okay.
And here's Mr. Fletcher's address down in New York.
Fletcher?
Lucian R. Fletcher, head of the Fletcher Advertising Agency.
Oh, wants to buy some commercial time on my radio show?
No.
Well, he better talk to the folks at CBS.
No, Johnny.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You mentioned that nasty word, murder.
He phoned me just before I called you. That agency of his is a small one, the Fletcher's. Up until a couple of years ago, when he took on a partner, it was practically a one-man operation.
So?
His partner's name is William Spade, Bill Spade. And what Fletcher called about was to tell me that Spade is out to murder him.
Why?
To get his hands on the advertising agency. What else? So jump onto that plane.
Now, wait a minute. If Fletcher knows this, if he's sure of it...
He's sure of it, all right. So, Johnny...
Well, then why doesn't he call in the police? Have this guy, Spade, lock up?
Spade is out of town on some business down in Philadelphia. But he's due back sometime today. There in New York,
right? Now, Ed, look,
Johnny, old man Fletcher isn't the kind to go off half-cocked, to come up with a false alarm. So go on down there, find out exactly what's up, do whatever's necessary to nail down his partner, and... Well, go on, Johnny. Your plane's about ready for takeoff.
Okay, okay. As long as you're paying the freight. But now, listen.
Johnny, you haven't any time.
I'll make it all right. Relax. Listen, as soon as we take off, you telephone Lieutenant Randy Singer.
Sure.
New York Police Department, 18th Precinct, Homicide Division.
Yeah, okay.
Tell him what you just told me, and then I'm on my way.
Sure. Now, get aboard before you're too late.
Sure. Item two on the expense account is, Well, no, the ticket for the flight was already paid for, and of course I'd hate to be accused of padding the old expense account, or should I say getting caught. So, item two is a dime for a phone call as soon as I landed there in New York, and not to Mr. Fletcher's address at 614 East 52nd Street.
18th Precinct, Conroy.
Yeah, Conroy, this is Johnny Dollar. Let me talk to Lieutenant Singer.
Oh, hiya, Dollar. How's the private eye business these days?
Special investigator to you, copper.
Don't like being called a private eye, huh?
What's your guess?
And listen, us cops don't like being called cops anymore.
Yeah, so I've heard. But haven't you heard, Conroy, that a rose by any other name?
Now, what's that mean?
Well, you figure that one out. Now, would you switch me over to Randy Singer?
Afraid I can't do that.
What?
Lieutenant pulled out of here about 20 minutes ago in one of the squad cars.
Oh.
Big emergency or something, like, aren't they all? But he'll be back.
Well, look, do you know if he got a call from up in Hartford, Connecticut a while ago?
No, not that I know of. But I need him on duty about half an hour.
Okay.
But I know he made a lot of frantic phone calls before he took off, if that means anything.
Well, does it?
Also, he took the medico along with him.
Ah. Well, listen, Conroy, when he comes in, tell him I'll be over at 614 East 52nd Street.
614?
At the apartment of a Mr. Lucian R. Fletcher.
Now, Dollar, you...
Tell him if he can make it, I want to see him over there.
614 East 52nd?
Yeah, that's right.
Now, listen.
Gotta go now. Item three is 640 for a taxi at a 614. For some silly reason or other, the doorman at that snooty address hesitated about steering me up to Mr. Fletcher's apartment. That is until I flashed my credentials at him and mumbled the magic word, emergency. And I took the elevator up to the ninth floor.
Come in, Johnny. Come on in.
Huh?
Conroy phoned me. You were on your way over here. How are you, boy?
Randy. Oh, and Ed Behrens here up in Hartford did call you.
Yeah, that's right. So I came on over here to see Mr. Fletcher, find out what all the excitement was about.
Well, what'd you find out?
Now, why don't you just come on into the library and see for yourself?
Sure, sure. I will. But if you ask me, Randy, see. Huh?
Yeah.
This is Mr. Fletcher?
That's Mr. Fletcher.
Dead.
That's right, Johnny. Dead as a doornail.
Pepsi-Cola refreshes without filling. Why? Because it's truly light.
Charlie, you're forgetting something.
Wait, Kay, there's more. Yes, ice-cold Pepsi is the delicious refreshment that goes great at a picnic or a party.
But, Charlie...
And Pepsi goes fast. People like it, so keep plenty handy. There.
Oh, you did fine, except for one thing.
Well, I mentioned lightness and how Pepsi refreshes and how fast it goes.
You left out Pepsi sociability. You know the Be Sociable song.
Okay, I can't sing.
I can. Listen.
Be sociable. Look smart. Keep up to date with Pepsi. Drink light, refreshing Pepsi. Stay young and stand debonair. Be sociable. Have a Pepsi.
Well, at least I can say this. Pick up an extra carton of Pepsi today.
Please do.
And now, Act Two of yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Yeah, Johnny, somebody came in here and finished him off with just exactly one nice, clean shot through the heart.
Uh-huh. Any sign of a struggle, Randy? Anything like that?
No, sir. So it must have been somebody that he knew that let him in here himself.
Yeah, and I'll buy that, all right. And it kind of proves the old man was right in his fears after all.
Huh?
When, Randy? Any idea when Mr. Fletcher was murdered?
Well, I got that call from your insurance agent up in Hartford early this morning. I tried calling Mr. Fletcher at his office, but he told me he hadn't come in yet.
Yeah?
So I tried calling him here. No answer. So I grabbed Doc Snyder and came on over. When the doorman couldn't raise Mr. Fletcher on the house phone, and he was sure that Fletcher hadn't left the place, well, I borrowed the key, and the doc and I came up here.
Randy, you haven't answered my question.
Oh, according to the doc, it happened sometime very early this morning, right after midnight.
Uh-huh, I see.
Doc and a couple of boys from the lab just left.
Oh, did they find anything, Randy? Any clues?
Not a thing to work on. All they know is that he was shot through the heart and what he was shot with. And believe me, Johnny... That bullet was placed just exactly right.
Well, now, what do you mean by that?
Well, just take a good look at this stiff, this body, I mean. Here. Here, look here. Right there.
Well, now, what under the sun is this? Some kind of a bulletproof vest?
Yeah, that's what I thought until Doc Snyder looked at it. No, Johnny, it's a kind of a corset.
Corset?
Yeah, that's right. A kind of a back support that was made for him especially.
Oh.
On account of some kind of sacro lumbar trouble or something.
Oh, yeah, sacro lumbar support.
Yeah, that's it.
Oh, I've never seen one quite like this. Now, this thing's almost like a suit of armor.
Sure. That's why I say it was a lucky shot.
Yeah.
I mean, the shot had to be placed exactly right. Inch or two on either side, and one of those wide steel ribs would have bounced it off.
Yeah.
Or at least... kept from going straight into his heart.
Oh, now wait a minute. The 38 slug packs a lot of wallop.
Yeah, only this was a little 22. But now, listen.
Yeah?
That insurance man, the one who called and said you were coming on down here?
Ed Behringer.
Yeah. Well, he told me that Fletcher had been expecting something like this.
That's right, man.
Yeah, he said that Fletcher made no bones about who might try.
That's right. The one man who might stand to benefit from his insurance. And somehow we have to find him.
Yeah, well, who's that?
Randy, in his advertising business, he had a partner.
Oh?
And it seems this partner, a man named William Spade...
Oh, wait a minute. That's probably the boys with the meat wagon. And come on to pick them up.
Okay, I'll let them in. Okay, boys, you can come.
I beg your pardon?
Who are you?
Why, my name's Spade, Bill Spade. I'm Mr. Fletcher's partner.
What's that?
So you're Bill Spade, huh?
Yes.
Well, my name is Dollar, Johnny Dollar.
The insurance investor?
That's right.
And is that a policeman I see in there in the library? Mr. Dollar, is something wrong here?
Where have you been, Mr. Spade?
Why, I just got in from Philadelphia. I was down there on some important agency business.
Just got back, huh? When?
Well, my plane got in about half an hour ago, maybe 45 minutes. Well, here. Here's my ticket. You can check on it.
Yeah, maybe I will. Where did you stay in Philadelphia?
At the Bellevue Stratford. But why? What's wrong around here? Where is Mr. Fletcher?
Just take it easy, Mr. Spade.
But I've got to see him on a business matter.
You do, huh?
Yes, it's very important. About a new client of ours. It has to be acted on at once.
Well, I'm afraid it's going to have to wait.
I called the office from the airport, and they said he wasn't in yet, so I came on over here. Now, where is he, and what's this all about, Mr. Dollar?
So, you claim you were down in Philadelphia when your business partner was shot.
That's right. Shot? Mr. Fletcher was shot?
Real surprise.
Where is he? Let me see him.
I said, take it easy.
But good heavens, Mr.
Take
Dollar.
Take it easy. And if this business matter is so all-fired important... Well, hadn't you better be down at the office taking care of it?
Now, Johnny.
Well, Mr. Spade?
Oh, yes, of course. Of course I should.
Sure you should. So why don't you just run along?
All right.
After all, Mr. Fletcher's in no condition to run your ad agency.
That's the understatement of all time.
I can't believe it. Mr. Fletcher did.
Oh, you can't, huh?
This is terrible. Have you any idea who could have done this to him?
Are you kidding?
What do you mean?
All right, now.
Yeah, Mr. Spade, you'd better get on down to that office of yours.
Huh?
And as soon as we can tell you anything, we will get in touch.
Believe me, if there's anything I can do, please call
on me. Now, just don't you worry about that. But get on down to the office and take over.
Right ahead, Mr. Spade.
I'll be in touch with you.
Very well, Mr. Dollar.
Now, what are you... What's got into you, Johnny? You're the one just got through telling me he's the one that must have killed Mr. Fletcher.
So how are you going to prove it?
Well, we got no other suspect, have we? And you let him go.
Look here, this plane ticket.
Yeah, I saw it. I saw him shove it into your hand.
I knew that Spade was supposed to be in Philly, that he was due to come back here today. So when I pulled into the airport, I carefully checked the incoming flight schedule.
So what?
Oh, this flight was due in all right, and from Philadelphia... That's what he said, half or three quarters of an hour ago.
Yeah, all right. So what? That doesn't prove he was actually on that flight.
Randy, I think he was.
That ticket could have been used by somebody else.
Well, it's easy enough to check on, but I doubt it very much.
All right. But if you're right about that, if he was down there in Philly, then your first theory about him is all wrong. How could he have murdered Mr. Fletcher?
Sounds impossible, doesn't it?
Of course. It is.
Want to bet?
A warning signal for all drivers. And that can be a warning signal for drowsy drivers on long, monotonous trips. You see, driving can make you drowsy no matter how much sleep you get. And driving and dozing just don't mix. Why take chances? Take no-doze, stay-awake tablets. Millions of times a year, safe no-doze keeps drivers awake and alert. Helps you bounce back so that you feel sharp, ready for any emergency. How does no-doze do it? Ask your doctor. He'll tell you that no-doze contains a safe and accurate amount of caffeine, the same refreshing stimulant you get in your coffee or tea. But safe no-doze acts faster, is handier and more reliable. Best of all, it is not habit-forming. And no-doze is so safe, it is legally sold on a national basis without a prescription. Get no-doze stay-awake tablets to help you stay awake and alert. It could save your life.
Now, Act Three of yours truly, Johnny Dollar, and the Back to the Back Matter.
Expect
Expense account item 4, 10 cents for a call to the Fletcher Advertising Agency.
No, sir. Mr. Spade isn't in yet.
All right, then, miss.
He telephoned that he would stop off and see Mr. Fletcher before coming in at Mr. Fletcher's apartment.
And he called you from the airport, didn't he?
Yes, sir.
And probably left the door of the phone booth open so you could hear the background noise of the planes and so on.
What?
Sure. So you know he actually was calling from the airport. Be willing to swear to it.
What?
Okay, miss. Thanks very much. Item 5, 60 cents for half a dozen calls to various departments of the airline company. And finally, I managed to get hold of the gal who'd been stewardess on the flight in from Philadelphia.
Yes, kind of light sandy hair and blue eyes.
Uh-huh.
And he wore a dark brown tweed suit. Oh, and his briefcase had the initials WF on it.
Yeah, and it must have been Bill Spade, all right. But how come you remembered him so well out of your whole list of passengers?
Oh, how could I forget him?
What do you mean by that?
Oh, Mr. Dollar, from takeoff to landing, that whole flight was perfect. But Mr. William Spade insisted he was airsick. Or on the verge of it.
Oh?
He must have pushed the call button a dozen times. Mary and I were busier with him than with all the other passengers put together.
Oh, I see.
Mary swore he was perfectly all right. That didn't keep him from pushing that button.
Yeah, almost as though he was deliberately calling attention to himself.
Yes. Certainly looked that way. But why?
I think I have a pretty good idea. Thanks a lot. Spade told me he'd stayed over in Philadelphia at the Bellevue Stratford. Item 6 is $1.30 for a call down there.
That's right, sir. Mr. Spade got his key from me and went up to his room at about 10 o'clock last night.
You mean he said he was going to his room?
That's right. Then he checked out about 8 o'clock this morning.
I see.
If it means anything, he mentioned the importance of catching a plane to New York. He mentioned it several times to both me and the cashier.
I'm sure he did.
Almost like a kid about to take his first airplane ride.
Oh, maybe it was just to impress you with the time he left your hotel.
Oh? Well, what do you mean by that, sir?
Nothing. Forget it. Thanks. From the minute Spade handed me that plane ticket as an alibi, I felt sure he had murdered Mr. Fletcher. As for all his trouble to establish he'd been in Philadelphia that morning, then aboard the plane, then at the airport, well, all very clever. But where was he? What was he doing before he checked under the Bellevue? And don't forget, it's only a short hop from Philly to New York. Oh, I knew what Spade's answer would be, that he was in his hotel room asleep. And I'm sure that no one could prove otherwise. No one, that is, except Spade himself, could prove he left that hotel during the night, gone to New York under another name, killed his partner, then got back in plenty of time to check out of the Bellevue at 8 a.m. So unless I could somehow trick him. Item 7, 85 cents for a cab to his office.
Yes, come in, Mr. Dollar, and sit down.
Ah, all right. Thanks.
I'm sorry for the appearance of my desk, but with all that's happened and with the affairs of my new clients to take care of...
Your new clients?
Well, after all, with Mr. Fletcher gone...
Hey, looks to me like you have every newspaper in town piled up here. But they wouldn't write about Mr. Fletcher unless he were dead or murdered.
What?
Tell me, how did you and Fletcher get along?
I suppose I might have expected you to ask something like that, just as a matter of routine questioning, or questioning of anyone who knew him.
Maybe.
But what did you mean by saying the papers would only print a story if he were dead?
Just let me ask the questions, huh?
Well, of course.
Well?
Mr. Fletcher and I ran this business together.
Personally, how'd you get along?
He was a very difficult person, Mr. Dollar. Created many embarrassing situations here in the office.
Embarrassing for you?
Yes. But I blame it all on the constant pain from his back. You see, he had a very serious condition, sacralumbar.
Yes, trouble. I know about that.
But I had to admire and respect him. He was a genius. Now, just look at the way he built up his agency.
Yeah, be nice to have, wouldn't it? Especially by you. In other words, you had plenty of motive for killing him.
Yes, of course. But if you think for one minute...
And I'm sure you had no trouble getting hold of a key to his apartment.
Mr. Dollar...
Who knows? Maybe Mr. Fletcher gave you one. After all, his own partner...
Dollar, if this is an attempt to be facetious... Look here, it's bad enough that Mr. Fletcher is dead.
Now, that's the second time you've said that.
Said what?
That Fletcher is dead.
Well, of course I... What?
Did I say that he was? Or the lieutenant there at the apartment?
You said he was shot. He must be dead.
You mentioned his back trouble.
Look here now.
I myself saw that corset he was wearing, those wide, heavy stays made of steel. Oh, you should have thought about those.
What?
Why, don't you realize what would happen if a little 22 bullet hit one of those stays? Well,
you...
Why, it would bounce off it like hail off a roof. Now, a big gun, a 38. But you forgot all about that regular suit of armor he had around him.
But he fell. I saw him fall.
Sure you did.
And I thought the bullet... But if I didn't kill him, I was sure I had. I'd aimed for his heart, and when he fell... When he... Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Spade, I said, if your bullet hit one of those stays.
What?
But it didn't. You killed him, all right. Fletcher is dead. And now that you've told me who did it...
Dollar, please. Listen.
You, mind if I use your phone? It's funny how a man like that can plan a thing so carefully, carry it out so carefully, and then when he's caught, lose his head and blab all over the place. Spade even made a grab for the little 22 pistol he'd used and had right there in his desk. Well, it'll be good as evidence. Expense account total, including a good meal and the fare back to dear old Hartford? $25.80. Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Maybe you'll recall this tuneful reminder of times past. This is Dennis James with something else worth remembering. It's this. You're so right to stay regular with Kellogg's All Bran. See, it's the normal, natural way to youthful regularity. The whole bran content of Kellogg's All Bran supplies your system with all the bulk-forming food that you need every day. There's only one All Bran. It's Kellogg's All Bran. So relieve irregularity from lack of bulk, as millions do, with a bowlful of Kellogg's All Bran each morning. A-double-L-hyphen-B-R-A-N. It's Kellogg's All Bran.
Now, here's our star to tell you about next week's story.
Next week? Well, a funny thing happens. I get called in on a case that I have no business at all trying to handle. It's way out of my line. So, of course, I turn it down. Then along comes another insurance company with another case for me to solve, kind of a dangerous one, too, and has no connection whatsoever with the one I refused. So what happens? A real double deal. Solving one case automatically brings solution to another. Join us, won't you? Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Johnny Dollar, starring Bob Bailey, originates in Hollywood and is written, produced, and directed by Jack Johnstone. Heard in our cast were Virginia Gregg, Gene Tatum, Frank Gerstle, James McCallion, Herb Vigran, Jack Edwards, and Forrest Lewis. Be sure to join us next week, same time and station, for another exciting story of yours truly, Johnny Dollar. This is John Wall speaking. Next, the fashioning of a bizarre plan as Suspense presents Memorial Bridge on the CBS Radio Network.
Hello, folks. I'm Smokey. Here's Raymond Burr, known to millions as Perry Mason, with a special message for all Americans.
Ladies and gentlemen, if just once you had to walk the silent, desolate trail that is any trail through the black and gray dust of burned over land. If you could see the pathetic remains of wild birds, of squirrels and rabbits and sometimes deer that couldn't run quite fast enough, well, then I think you would be very careful with your campfire, with any outdoor fire. Dried stream beds, eroded soil, dead and dying trees. These are the price of human carelessness and thoughtlessness. Ladies and gentlemen, these things I know, because long before I became Perry Mason, I fought many fires in the forests of the Northwest. And believe me, fire uncontrolled is an awful thing.
This is WRW 590 on your dial in Albany, New York. This is WRW 590 on your dial in Albany, New York.